Okay, middle of Perek Yud Zayin Pesach Chof Gimel. The Alter Rebbe is in the middle of explaining that the concept of now we can understand why it's Kodev Elecha Dovah Me'ed, why it's very close and easy for a person to come to serve Hashem. So he says, because we're not talking about a level of a person that has open love and fear of Hashem. All we're mentioning is that the person has to have enough of an understanding that the mind controls the heart, that he understands this is what's right, and if it's right, that's what they want to do. And he says, because basically, as Alter Rebbe asks, how can you say b'ficha b'vavcha la'asei so that's in your heart, it's easy to do it? Only a tzaddik controls their heart. So he says, we're not talking about that level of love. We're talking about a level of understanding that stimulates the heart to be able to serve Hashem. So we'll start 7 lines from the top. And the mind controls by nature and from birth on the left side of the heart, meaning over the nefesh habamis, on the mouth, and all the other limbs of the person, which are the action vessels, meaning a person by nature from birth has the ability, if you want to say something and you know it's wrong, you don't say it. You want to think something and you don't know it's wrong, you won't think it. If you do the same thing with action. He says, every person by nature is born with the ability of control. Unless if somebody is a complete Rasha, like we learned this last week yet, the Gemara says, the Rasha is controlled by the heart. And they don't control their heart at all. And like we said, last week we got into this whole thing with an addict. A person who's addicted to something is because they don't have the ability to control themselves. And that's the definition of an addiction. Like this, a person by nature has the ability to control. It's wrong. I want to do it. I will still not do it. The only person that has no control over themselves is a Rasha that stooped. And Alter Rebbe said before, like we learned last week, it's a punishment. That the person is punished by Hashem, that they have no self, they can't even control themselves anymore.
Everybody doesn't control
themselves. Because they don't want to. At that moment, they're a Russia. Another minute later, they might control themselves. A person who doesn't control thought, speech, and action at any given time is a Russia. And Alter Rebbe says, and this lack of control of the heart that the Russia has is a punishment for the great sins. In other words, it's like an addict is blamed for allowing himself to become an addict while they still had control. Once they're an addict, it's hard to blame them anymore because they don't have, even then we'll soon see you can still do tshuva. But a person is blamed for allowing themselves to become addicted. And that's the punishment that the Russia is given. At the beginning, he had the ability to control his Yetzer Hara, but he gave into it so much that the Yetzer Hara became in total control, and that's it. He's out of control. It's a good thing I forgot all about the cup of coffee. No, last week we were talking about people are addicted to coffee, the coffee controls them. So she was very upset about drinking coffee. See, I drank coffee this week. I had no guilt whatsoever. But I tried to instill, at least the people in the shir, not me, that everybody at least should feel guilty when they wake up in the morning and drink coffee. Yes, if it's kosher coffee, it's fine. You can drink 10 cups.
But not to be addicted. Drink it without addiction.
It's fine. That should be the worst sin we do, is drinking coffee in the morning. Ki be'emes, because he says, I'm sorry, the Teda doesn't speak about such dead people, shebechayehem kruyim mesim, even when they're alive, they're called dead, because they mamish have no control, and they're completely far away from Hashem. Ki be'emes, the Alter Rebbe says, because really, this is where we left off last week, besides the coffee, it's impossible for a Russia Lahaschul lavid Hashem to begin serving Hashem b'li sheyaseh tshuva la'avar tchila. In other words, a rosh, in order to even start asei tov, to doing good, you first got to break the evil. because the evil is not going to let you do good until you get rid of it. Like he says, l'shaber haklipa, to break the evil, she'masach, which is the curtain, mavda, which separates the Jew from Hashem, like the pasuk says, many places, your aveinisechem mavdilim, your aveda separate between you and Hashem, u'mechitza, shel barzel, and it's the iron curtain, ha'mafsekes beinom, la'avim shebishmayim, which separates them and Hashem. So if there's like a mechitza, how in the world are you going to get close to Hashem if there's a brick wall, or an iron curtain rather? See, first you have to get rid of the iron curtain, and then you can make the steps to get closer. But if you're going to start making steps closer, and there's a brick wall or an iron curtain in between, how are you going to get there? He says, how do you break this iron curtain? How do you break this evil addiction? He says, Aide shvidus libay, by breaking the heart, umeridus nafshi, and the embitterment of the soul, al chatorav, on the sins. Like it says in the Zayar, Zivche Elokim, the sacrifices, plural, and the Altareba later in Tanya says an interesting word, it doesn't say Zevach Elokim, that the sacrifice of Hashem is broken heart. Zivche Elokim is plural, that means a broken heart is equal to all sacrifices. But again, he is not talking, as the Altareba will explain later, in Chavav and Chavzayin, the Alter Rebbe will explain, we're not talking here about depression. Depression makes even lower. We're talking about a person saying, listen, I did it, I'm upset, let's move on. So then you break the evil spirit, but not becoming depressed. Because becoming depressed from the evil level that the person is, that depression is even coming from the Yetzer Hara. Because what the Yetzer Hara is such an expert in its field, that what the Yetzer Hara does to you, when you're bad, the Yetzer Hara is afraid you might become good. So what does he do? He makes you depressed for being bad, and therefore you start doing less because you're depressed. When you're depressed, you can't do anything. So he gets you to stoop even lower with you thinking that it's Kedusha. But meanwhile, he gets you, bottom line, he gets you to be lower. No. No, because once you, first of all, he's saying, who says it has to be superficial? Even if it's superficial, you do it anyway. What's the proof of it? The whole davening of Yom Kippur is superficial, basically. Everybody bangs Ochet, and they even sing it, and they hear it again, and everybody's doing it, and, you know, the main thing is to mean it. But you know what? If you fake something long enough, it becomes real. Bluff long enough becomes real. If a person convinces themselves that they're sick, long enough they'll really become sick. And if you bluff yourself long enough that you're healthy or that you're good, you'll become good.
You can convince ourselves that she's pregnant, she won't be pregnant.
Yeah. I wouldn't say with what, but she's possible, yeah.
What do you mean by bluff yourself that you're good? How can you bluff yourself into thinking you're good? You think you're good or you're not good?
A lot of people bluff themselves that they're good. That's a real bluff. There is in Chassidus what's called a pnimi and a chitzen. Simply, it's internal and external, but that's not what it really means. A pnimi is one who does something for themselves, because of themselves, meaning they mean it. And a chitzen is one that does it for show. Many times, a person will act religious, not because they really mean it, but because they want people to think that they're religious. Or people should give them the impression, or even for their image, you know, it looks better that I should look more religious. That is what's called in Chassidus a chitzen. A pnimi is when a person does it because they really want it, they really mean it. That means if they're the only person in the universe, they would still be doing it. Not when everybody's looking, you know, that like they tell stories of people that learned late at night, but they wanted everybody to know that they were learning late at night, but they wanted everybody at the same time to know that they're modest. So what they did was they would pull the curtains down, but they made a hole in the curtain that somebody should be able to look in that they were learning, and at the same time to marvel at the modesty of the person that the curtain was closed. Understand? But they made a hole that the person should see that they're learning and they're modest. Yeah. That is one level of a chitzin. Now, obviously, it's definitely better, like it says in Ayin Yayin, that the Alter Rebbe added the word in Tanya that he demanded emes from chassidim. Emes means you do it because it's real, it's true. And therefore, you, at all times, you'll do it whether people are looking or not. And it says because Alter Rebbe added the word emes, and later on in Tanya, if without the word emes, he could have had 50,000 more chassidim. Alter Rebbe could have had 50,000 more chassidim. But he demanded emes. What does emes mean? A person that's real will do something no matter where he is, how they are, what is, whether the only person in the world. Like we said many times, if a person is frum, in a frum neighborhood, is that the true test that the person is religious? That's the environment, you know, that's the community. No, the community, so you live with the culture of the community. The true test of somebody's frumkeit is if they go to a desert island and they're the only one there, it's like the famous question. A person should ask themselves the question. If I would be able to sin in a way that it's impossible for anybody ever to find out. You know, sometimes people are afraid to sin because maybe, who knows, who's going to find out somehow, you know? But if it would be technically possible to sin without anybody ever knowing about it, would they sin or not?
Even Kadosh Baruch.
Even God, yeah. Would they sin or not? A pnimi is, it's a very high level, by the way. And the Rebbe Rashab would mock and degrade a chitzen. But the truth of the matter is, a pnimi, that you do it really because you mean it, not for the show, not for anybody else, not for anybody to look at you and talk about, nothing. You do it, you're by yourself, with the closed curtains, without any hole in it, and it, you know, then, so to speak, you're under the covers at night, and nobody knows what your thoughts are, and whatever it is. So that is the definition of a pnim. Yet, as bad as a chitzin is, because they don't do it for themselves, they're doing it for the show, nevertheless, there's an advantage in a chitzin. Over a person that doesn't, there are people that say, oh, I'm not a bluffer, so I'm not going to do it. You ever hear that, people? I'm not holding by it, and therefore I'm not going to do it because I'm a real person. I'm not a bluffer like the other people that do it. The truth is, it's better to do it even if from bluff. Besides the fact that the Torah says, when you do it for the wrong purposes, you'll eventually do it for the right purposes, so just do it. But there's also an advantage. Something that you bluff, why are you bluffing it? Because that thing is precious. If it wouldn't be precious to you, you wouldn't bluff it. Why are you bluffing it? Because you realize that that is a respectable thing to do. I'm not there yet, but I want people to think that I'm respectable, so therefore I'm doing it. So, the nickname Achitzin, a person who, a colored person, meaning he just does it for the show. Like, so the respect. When a woman puts on makeup, it's all bluff. Right? But you do it for the show. Okay, that's what you do. So the fact that the person realizes that it's respectable or nice to do it, so they do it. But like we said, if you do it long enough, if you end up doing it long enough, if you do it long enough,
I can't even see the person. Hello.
Anyway, if you bluff it long enough, it becomes real. There's a possibility that it'll become real. So therefore, Even a chitzin is good. Better than not doing it. And in fact, sometimes, like we said, if a person, there are many people, by the way, that think, I'm not going to do it because I don't mean it, and it's bluff, and it's a show, and I don't mean it. And therefore, he said, I'm not going to be like the other people that do it because they're bluffers. So now the question is, Siddha says, which one's coming from the Yetzer Tov, or which one's coming from the Yetzer Hara? Because you can have two approaches. One approach is, you can think maybe it's coming from the Yetzer Tov, I don't want to do it because I don't want to be a bluffer. Or maybe that's the Yetzer Hara speaking. Who is actually negotiating over here? Who is the one that's saying, don't do it because it's a bluff? Is that coming from the Yetzer Tov or the Yetzer Hara? So Chassidus explains, it's a very easy way of figuring it out. Bottom line, are you doing something good or you're not doing something good? If you're coming along and saying, I'm not going to learn, I'm not going to give tzedakah, I'm not going to do a mitzvah because it's bluff, so what's the bottom line? Then you're not going to do it. That has to be coming from the Yetzer Hara. Because if it's coming from the Yetzer Tov, bottom line is doing. Anything that will cause you not to do is coming from the Yetzer Hara. And that's the test that a person has to know where it's coming from.
Then
it's not called, I don't want to do it because of bluff. The person says, I'm going one step at a time.
Yeah, so, no, but there are people who do it, and it seems as though they're doing it. They're doing it, of course, but it's bluffing too much. It's not good. Bluffing is never, is good?
Yeah.
Let me ask you. It doesn't mean bluffing the way you
Everything, bluffing is doing it for show. Anything, in order for it to work properly, has to be done in the right system. For instance, if you're given 30 pills for antibiotics, and the doctor says, take a pill 3 times a day for 10 days. So a person will think, why waste the time? I'll take all 30 pills now. 1 minute. I'll take all 30 pills. Bottom line is I have to take 30 pills, right? So why do I have to do it in 10 days? If I do it in 1 day, for sure it's going to help. 1 minute. As everybody knows, you don't have to be a brilliant doctor to know that either you'll end up dead for overdosing or you'll end up in the hospital. And that, one thing's for sure, you ain't going to get better. That's a given. So the shaila is, why not? The system needs 30 pills. I'll take 30 pills. Or somebody has to do exercise. The doctor says to do exercise 15 minutes a day. The person will say, no, why 15 minutes a day? 3 hours a day. Nothing but a heart attack. God forbid. The Lucheda, if 15 minutes exercise is good, so 3 hours is for sure good. Yet, we all know it doesn't work like that. What? No, that's exactly the same thing. If a person is starting Yiddishkeit, and their attitude is, I have to go step by step, okay, that is not doing it because of bluff. There's nothing to do with bluff. They're not doing it because they don't want to show. On the contrary, that is a more of a panemius dickered thing. People, one of the uniquenesses of kids, which has its advantages and disadvantages, do you know that kids, within a 10-minute span, can, with another friend, they could be the worst enemy, best friend, 4 times in 10 minutes. Do you know that? They can kick, bite, and a minute later, best friend, 3 minutes later again. I mean, everybody has kids. I mean, you go watch kids in school, you see this. Now, why is it? Because of the lack of maturity, nothing's internalized. The fighting is not internalized, and the friendship is not internalized. Therefore, it can come and go in 2 minutes. A person, you have many people that can go into opposite environments and situations without any problem. They go from one extreme to another extreme, from this type of environment to that type of environment, the middle, and they have no problem, they're fine with everything. You know why they're fine with everything? Because they have nothing. They're nowhere. If you're nowhere, you could be everywhere. When a person, they were chassidim, when the Mittler Rebbe passed away, many of his chassidim did not become chassidim of the Tzemach Tzedek for many, many, many years. They said they already gave their neshama to this person, all of a sudden give it to another person. You know, yeah, but yeah, go back, next, you know, in and out of marriages, in and out of relationships, in and out of, it's very simple, in and out of jobs, in and out. Why is it? Because the person's nowhere. If the person's internalizing something and it becomes one with them, it's very difficult to change it to something else. What was the difficulty that we learned? The Rebbe Rash said, when the Rebbe Rash had Yechidus, at the end of the Yechidus, his garments were sopping wet from sweat. Mam is sopping wet. What's the big deal of meeting people? You know, somebody comes in, you talk to him, next guy comes in, you talk to him. What's the big deal? You know, you can sweat it up from that. What's the explanation? So it says that in order for a Rebbe to really help another person, he has to actually put himself into that person. He had to not superficially just give advice. He had to literally put himself, his neshama, into that person to feel the person and therefore be able to help him. When the next person came in, he had to get out of that person and put himself into the next person. In and out, 50 people, 100 people, it's a difficult job. For a person to give advice, you can give advice to 1,000 people and nothing happens because you're not in any of them. In Torah Mitzvahs, the ultimate level is that what you do actually becomes one with the person. So, now that we went off the topic for about 20 minutes, coming back to what Alter Rebbe is saying over here is that in order for the Rasha to begin starting the trip back, you have to first, you know, it's amazing. You want to go on a trip, you got to first open the garage door. If the garage door is closed and there's a mechitza, where are you going? You can have you can load up the car, you can have everything ready, you can't go anywhere. So the first thing the Rosh has to do is open the garage door. There's a mechitza, so barzel, there's this iron curtain that is thick because of all the sins. So where are you going on the trip? You have to get the garage door open. How do you get the garage door open? By removing the stone wall, so to speak, that's black and that caved in, the avalanche that caved in. You have to start removing the stones one by one, and then you're able to get out. Yeah.
So let's say there's a wedding which is a shemitah, and the person wants to go so that people see him or her at the wedding. Because that's good too, though. You see, it's good for a public to see.
I think everybody should only go to weddings.
Or a bar mitzvah. No, the point is, it might be for show. They're not really interested in the wedding part, but they want people to know they're part of the community, let's say.
So that's good.
But that's still show, isn't it? They're going for a reason from external, approval.
Let me ask you a question. Who would the people that are making the simcha, you know, let's be realistic. Everybody knows there's certain simchas you go to because you have to go. Certain simchas you go to because you want to go. Right? Everybody knows that? In case you didn't, I'll give you a lesson in it. There's certain times you go places because you have to go. Certain places you want to go. There's a big difference in your attitude at that wedding if you went because you have to go or you went because you want to go. And one case is you're there. And one case is, you're not there. Because you're when you come, okay, when are we leaving, you know? Okay, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, we're out the door. So then you're not there. Physically you're there, but the truth is, you're talking not there. You're not there. Your body is there, your dress is there, your suit is there, everything is there. But you're not there. It's better in education, as everybody knows, it's better for a kid to stand outside the classroom and look in than to be inside the classroom and look out. When you're sitting in the classroom looking out, that means you're not in the classroom. In the place where the person's will is, that's where they are. You want to be in the classroom, it's better to be outside the classroom looking in than to be inside the classroom and look out.
That's exactly what we talked about. That is bluffing.
What's bluffing?
When you're inside and
looking
you're
out. Right.
But that's bluffing, but because that, you said you should do it because you have to do it.
Right. The best thing is to be in the classroom looking in.
Exactly.
Looking in.
Yeah,
how many high school kids do that? That's the difference, by the way, if somebody has to go to a class or they want to go to a class. Right? In school, kids have to go to class. So it's not that sometimes they want to go to class. Sometimes they have to go to class. But you can't compare it to somebody that wants to go to a class and goes.
Sometimes they come here because they have to.
Don't do me any favors. Now, sometimes a person doesn't want to go and they break themselves and they go, but that's for themselves. It's not for anybody else. It's not for everybody there to say, oh, they're so good they always come to class. That, again, is not you. It's for others. Okay.